Colossians chapter 1 this morning, beginning in verse 20, if we could, please. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Paul speaking, and he says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled." Next verse, please, if I can get there myself. "In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Let's go back again one verse to verse 21. "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind and by wicked works, yet hath he now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." That ministers to my heart. Hallelujah. Through the body of his death, through Christ offering upon the cross, as you and I now stand in the presence of the Lord, we can stand holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. It's an imputed righteousness given to everyone who believes on Jesus Christ for personal faith and sanctification. Amen. If you believe on Jesus, then he declares you holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Amen. Men will find fault with you. Amen. And there's times we are buffeted for our faults, Paul said. But beyond that, or I should say Peter said, but guess what? In the eyes of God, by your faith in the crucified, your faith in Jesus who was slain for you, God can now present you holy, unreprovable, unblameable in his sight. Faults and all. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good news this morning. You know, I shared this, and we'll finish reading here a little bit. A long time ago, my brother, when my mom was passing away, we were talking up in the hospital, and we were talking on this issue of salvation and the qualifications. What qualifies a man or woman to go to heaven? And I said, "Danny, the qualifications are you have to be perfect." And that hit him for whatever reason, like a ton of bricks. Elizabeth was there, and he turned white because all of a sudden he realizes, "I'm anything but perfect." And as I mentioned that to you, the qualifications to go to heaven is you must be perfect. You say, whoa, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you better believe that. The Bible says God demands nothing less than perfection from you or from me. But now we got a problem, don't we? Because if I look at my life and look at my heart and look at my past, I got a sin nature and I've had a sin problem. I've come short of the glory of God. I have not measured up to the high standard of Almighty God. My friend, the qualification to go to heaven is you must be perfect. Well, how are we made perfect? Well, it's not through what you do. That's good news. It's not through what you do. Amen? You cannot, with behavior modification, if you turn over a new leaf today, behave yourself into the favor of God. You cannot do it. It is impossible. You can't become religious enough or righteous enough in yourself to be accepted by God. Amen. It is not of works, lest any man should boast, including you or including I. But you know what it's about? By faith, it's a righteousness available by faith. And if you can believe on the Son of God and what he did for you at the cross, God will present you holy, unrebukable, unreprovable, and unblameable in his sight. Hallelujah. You and I, as we sit here this morning, are perfect in the eyes of God by our faith in the finished work of the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Amen. That's good news this morning. That is real good news this morning. You and I are being kept by faith. And you and I are made perfect because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He lived the perfect life I could not live and you could not live. And so he took upon himself your and my sin and took it to the cross. And nailed all the ordinances that were against us were nailed to the cross. And when he rose again from the dead, that was your death and burial. But when he rose from the dead, in the mind of God, you and I rose from the dead. And that's good news this morning. We have an imputed righteousness. I shared this with a man who was growing up in Bible Christian circles 30 years of his life. Never heard the term imputed righteousness. And when I mentioned it to him, you could just see 1,000 pounds going off his shoulders. Because he'd been taught by the Christian circle he was part of, you got to live this out and work this out, and you got to, you actually have to be perfect if you want heaven's best and if you want to go to heaven. And I'll tell you what a difference it made with imputed righteousness. You know, a long time ago, I'm still going to read my text. I just feel like I'm going to preach today. Amen. Hallelujah. You better hold on, friend. We're going to get the gospel full board, both barrels. Amen. Hallelujah. Very few churches, there's preaching anymore. They have talks. They talk to you. You know, you can't talk termites out of one, but you can preach them out of them. Amen. Did you hear what I said? I said, you can't talk termites out of wood, but you can preach it out them out of there. Amen. With the right message. Hallelujah. But in all of this, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, what a weight off your shoulder to know that I have been made right by my simple faith in the Son of God. Hallelujah. Who loved me. Who died for me and gave himself for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good news. Let's continue reading. So in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Now go to chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Same book, Colossians. So as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. But beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. What a mouthful, but what good news for you and I this morning. This morning's message, the cross, the blood, the faith. This morning's message, the cross, the blood, the faith. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing on the remainder of the service. Father, again, as we come into your presence by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank God we have access to your throne through Jesus who died for us. Lord, we have many needs in the congregation this morning. We think of Randy Grable this morning. Lord, we think of Mary Davis. Lord, we think of Ken Zimmerman. We think of Bob White. Lord, that all these people would be touched by divine grace and mercy, and that healing virtue would quicken their mortal body through Jesus Christ. We pray, God, that you would just raise them up, even from the brink of death, O God. And Father, establish them again and set their feet upon a rock, O God. And Lord, anoint this service. Let the true preacher come from heaven, the Holy Spirit. Enable the clay lips of this preacher to preach the oracles of God and open every heart to the truth that makes men free today. Bless the children's church. Give them their portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen and amen. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is the cross, the blood, and the faith. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is the cross, the blood, the faith. You say, you've said that before, Pastor. I want it to sink into your inner man. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is the cross, the blood, the faith. Now listen to this. The faith is the blood and the cross. Boy, Pastor, this is elementary. You think so? You listen to this. Let me say this again. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is the cross, the blood, and the faith. The faith is the blood and the cross. Many people say today, I have faith in God. I have faith. I believe. But it's what are they believing that will decide their eternal destiny and decide whether they have the victory in this life. Amen? Amen. And friend, we get no help from God unless we understand the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel is the cross, the blood, the faith. But the faith, we have to understand, is the blood and the cross. It's all the same. The blood is the cross and the faith. You can mix and match the blood, the cross, the faith. You can mix and match. It's all the same thing according to the Word of God. But men have changed that over time. Let me finish this up. Again, the cross, the blood, the faith is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The faith is the blood. The faith is the cross. The blood is the cross and is the faith. And the cross is the faith and the blood. Amen. Amen. So people say, I got faith. Faith in what? If it ain't faith in the blood, if it isn't faith in the cross, it isn't a biblical faith that God will honor. If I say I trust in the cross, then I'm believing in the faith. And I'm resting in the blood. If I say I believe in the blood shed for me, then I'm saying I believe in the cross and the faith. You can't separate the three. The true gospel, again, is the cross, the blood, the faith. What are you believing in? What am I trusting in? What am I laying my life upon? What is the perfection of God in my life? It is sure not me, because I come short of the glory of God. But what I do have is faith in the faith. I have faith in the cross. I have faith in the blood. And because of that, according to what we read in our text this morning, that makes me holy, that makes me unreprovable, that makes me unblameable in the sight of God. Hallelujah. My Lord, if this opens up in your heart, you'll rest forever. Amen. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is the cross, the blood, the faith. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I love what it says in Revelation 1, verse 5. John speaking to Jesus Christ, he says, unto him now that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's the heart of the gospel. Amen. Jesus Christ has cleansed us from the original condition of original sin. Through the perfection of Jesus Christ. When God sees the child of God, he doesn't see you per se. He sees you joined in his Son, Jesus Christ. He looks at you and I in Christ. Amen. Amen? And why does he do that? Because we're in the faith, because we're trusting the blood and we're looking to the cross. Amen. Again, the true gospel is the cross, the blood, the faith. The faith. Not any faith. Not religious faith. The faith. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I might just run this building today. Amen. I might leap over the wall and end up in that balcony today. I'll tell you what, this stirs my soul, stirs my faith, stirs my heart. Hallelujah. You say, well, how can you be so happy about that, Pastor? My God, there's no guilt, no condemnation. You've been washed clean. My God, given a new heart, a new spirit. You'll never know the fires of hell. My Lord, that's something to shout about. My eternity is secured in Jesus Christ. But Paul said, if I continue in the faith. And notice how he worded that. He had just said he'll present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if we continue in the faith. If is the biggest word in the Bible. If denotes a condition. And I know there are circles out there that don't like the conditions of Scripture. They want to make it sound you said a prayer one time, God will keep you forever and you'll never be plucked out of his hand. And I want to tell you, that is the gospel truth. No man can pluck you out of God's hand, but you can leave that hand by unbelief. Only you, my friend. You must maintain faith. That's your part in the deal. Amen. Faith. Not works. Not what you do. What you believe. What you believe. And I'm believing in the gospel. The true gospel. I'm believing in the cross. The blood. The faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, many have a head knowledge of the gospel today. And we deal with this a lot in this church, but this is what the Lord put on my heart for this Sunday, and I'm just going to walk through it. A head knowledge of the gospel will not save. You see, a head knowledge of the gospel is a superficial belief system. It does not penetrate or change the heart. Amen. I remember a man who had an alcohol problem, showed up at church once in a while. I asked him if he knew the Lord, really knew the Lord. His answer to me, he said, I pray. And I'm thinking, I didn't ask you that. I pray. In his mind, even though he's an alcoholic, and there is deliverance for the alcoholic, amen? There's no condemnation for the alcoholic. He's got enough condemnation, amen? There is hope for anybody. This is what I love about the gospel. Any man can be free from anything through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So alcohol, the top five, the big, what do they call them? What is that name? The mortal sin or whatever they call it? There's more than the big five. Amen. Think about it. Okay, walk with me. You see, many have a knowledge of the gospel. It's a superficial thing. They've been raised in it. This is kind of what they are. They've been brought up in it. They have kind of a simple overview, working gospel. Now you're saying, is everybody that has that belief unsaved? I'll leave that between them and the Lord. But a gospel that does not birth you into the kingdom of God and you becoming born again is a superficial head knowledge gospel. Jesus said, you must be born again. And the unique thing I find about born-again people is born-again people know they're born again. Amen. Amen? And friend, there is a difference. There is a difference. We can grow up in this thing. Jesus grew up right in his homeland, and yet he was God in the flesh. But most of his family, those that knew him, said, this is Jesus the carpenter's son. His brothers and sisters, we know his parents. Who is this guy? And it said he could do their no mighty work because of their unbelief. You see, they grew up in it, had a superficial knowledge of God, but it never penetrated the heart. You see, we need the gospel to penetrate the inner man, to penetrate the heart. Today, most churches present a hybrid form of the gospel. It has been altered. It has been suited to their personal preferences. You better hear that, friend. There's a hybrid Christianity that has been... What does hybrid mean? You ever hear of hybrid seed? It's been altered to have certain characteristics. That men altered it to have the final result of what they want to see. And today we have this in all much of Christendom, even especially in this country. It has been altered to suit their fancy. It has been altered to suit their own desires. Amen. Hallelujah. A hybrid Christianity cannot save. A hybrid gospel is a false gospel. It is a different Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel according to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You don't tamper with the gospel. You don't change the work and person of Jesus Christ. You don't mess with the cross. You don't mess with the blood. And you don't alter the faith. You don't alter the cross. You don't alter the blood. You don't alter the faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Paul said it this way in our text, verse 8, chapter 2. He said they would present a philosophy of Christianity. It would be full of vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world or the elements of this world, and not after Christ. Amen? I'm going to make some strong statements here. Denominationalism is not the gospel. It is not the faith. Mormonism is not the gospel. It is not the faith. Jehovah's Witnessism is not the gospel. It is not the faith. You're all amening, but hang tight. It gets better. Lutheranism is not the gospel. It is not the faith. Methodism is not the gospel. It is not the faith. Reformationalism is not the gospel. It is not the faith. Presbyterianism is not the gospel. It is not the faith. Catholicism is not the gospel. It is not the faith. Hold on, Pentecostals. Pentecostalism is not the gospel. It is not the faith. Oneness Pentecostalism is not the gospel. It is not the faith. And I say this carefully. We got the name right over the church door. Non-denominationalism is not the gospel. It is not the faith. What is the gospel? The cross, the blood, the faith. Amen? In spite of the name over the door, in spite of the pin you wear on your lapel, the gospel is the cross, the blood, the faith. Amen. Wow, don't they all teach that, Pastor? You mean you don't know the difference? I've come out of that stuff. And I didn't come out of it until I was born again, and my heart was opened. And the gospel penetrated my heart, and I was birthed of God, born again. That's why Paul would say it this way, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, and all things of old have passed away. That means all things of old has died off. Those old religious beliefs has died off. Why? Because Christ came in. He converted my heart. He changed my life. Amen. My friend, listen, we don't need a change of behavior. Man needs a deliverance. Amen? Amen. Most gospels today try to alter one's behavior. The true gospel, the cross, the blood, the faith, does not alter your behavior. It gets into your heart and into your inner man and into your spirit. And by the grace of God, He gives you a new heart and a new spirit. My God, you've been changed. You're newborn now. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it made. When the Lord came and stayed in my heart, yes, I've been changed. My God. Hallelujah. The true gospel, the cross, the blood, the faith. The isms will not save. I do believe with an honest, open reading of the New Testament, the New Covenant. I believe, now let me use my words carefully and so you see the difference. I believe the New Testament gospel, the new covenant in the blood and finished work of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in those believers' lives, with the evidence of the gifts of the Spirit in operation and functioning, with the evidence of those believers receiving a prayer life, a language they've never learned, but it's deep within the Spirit, according to the Scripture, you can't get away from it. But I do believe the Pentecostal way is the way of the new covenant. I said Pentecostal way. I didn't say Pentecostal church. Because when men get their fingers in anything that God does, it gets corrupted and it changes from its original condition to a hybrid form of what it wasn't originally. And friend, I say this carefully. There's not a preacher, an organization, a denomination out there that has not been guilty of that, including myself from years gone by. The true gospel is the cross, the blood, the faith. You see, Paul called it the word of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1, he said, the preaching of the cross. And the word preaching is the Greek word logos. And that word logos literally means the word of. The word of the cross. So when you read that in your King James, the word preaching is synonymous with the word of. Paul said it this way, for the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The word of the cross, the blood, the faith, that's the word of the cross right there. To those who are perishing, dying off spiritually, that's a foolish message. They would take the message that this pastor is preaching today and they would shrug it off. I don't care what you say about my denomination. We run 8,000 people. You run 50. So we must be right, because look at all the people. Friend, you don't understand Scripture at all. Some of the greatest thing God does is in the few. There's always a remnant. And you know, God ain't done. All denominations started out as a handful. You're just 200 years into it. Hello? Amen. Glory to God. Oh, we're preaching good today. It's not me, it's the message. The Lord popped this in my spirit this week. I pulled out a little envelope and pen and scribbled it down as God gave it to me. And I feel that this is, we're at a crossroads in Christianity today. That's why I have to say, and say it with strength and with power, some of the things I say. The problem is, when you're too soft with the preaching, and you're too soft with the Word of God and with the truth, we shrug it off because this is what we do. We reason ourselves out of believing what is being preached, even though you know what is being said is the truth. We reason it this way. Well, if that preacher's right, then grandma and grandpa and mom and dad and everybody before them were off in their gospel. And that can't be right, because that's grandma and grandpa and that's mom and dad, and I've been brought up in that, so it has to be right because I'm in it. I mean, when we grew up, it was a big thing, big rift between the Catholics and the Lutherans. Lutherans were right because we were Lutheran. Catholics were right because they were Catholics. We didn't know the difference. Well, we knew some differences, but that was our defense. Surely mom and dad won't bring me up in something that's not right, so it's got to be right. And that was our superficial knowledge of it. But yet, we were mean as a junkyard dog. We were full of sin and rebellion. We hated going to church. Or if we went to church, we liked to put it on and all the flair and the hoopla. The more religion, the better it was. But the word of the cross is to them which perish foolishness. Now, let's expound on that just a little bit. The word of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. What's that talking about? Those that have a religious superficial knowledge of the gospel will reject for the most part what we're preaching, that you got to get it down into your heart and spirit, that you must be born again, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and your faith in that. And Paul, 2,000 years ago, moved by the Holy Spirit to pen what he did, pen that word, the word of the cross, for the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, that throughout all the generations of church history, 2,000 years of church history since the Apostle Paul wrote those words, to let every generation know that when this cross is preached and the blood is preached and Jesus Christ is held up and it's called the faith and that's all, because men want to bring in philosophies, vain deceit and everything else. They want to make things after their own traditions, their own ways. That's man's way. That's man's nature. God knew that that was going to be man's besetting sin. Amen. I say this carefully. We'll kick at the Calvinist, but the Pentecostals, we get prideful in that too. The Calvinists will kick the Pentecostals, but they'll be so lifted up in their own pride of their own denomination. Catholics will spurn the Lutherans, and the Lutherans will spurn the Catholics, but nobody wants to get to the bottom of the truth, get back to the Word of God. I saw an interesting posting. It was a funny picture. There's this man standing in the midst of a crowd. And it evidently was a crowd of soldiers, a battalion or something, and just standing in the crowd, and the caption was, and you got to get the picture, you got this guy standing, and all around the man were all these men with rifles pointed right to his head, point-blank range, right there, about 30 rifles pointed right at him. He's standing there, and all these rifles are around him. The caption on the picture, if I can remember it right, this is the reaction when one Christian will tell the truth, will stand up and tell the truth. This is the reaction of people. Do you know why most of the church hates this message? Do you really know why? What I'm preaching this morning will be spurned off, cast off, put down. You know why it's rejected? I'll tell you why. Because the message is spirit. It is spirit. And it's of God. And flesh hates God. When Abel was slew by his brother Cain, Abel offered the blood. In the garden, evidently, they were taught the sacrificial system. Why did he offer a blood? How did he know to do that? Because he had been taught by his parents, Adam and Eve. And when the time of offering came, there must have been a place where there was an altar. Abel did what God said. You've sinned. You've come short of the glory of God. The only way back to me is through the blood sacrifice of an innocent one, which points to the coming Redeemer who will come almost 4,000 years later. And so Abel does what God requires. He offers up the firstling of the flock. And Cain comes along and says, I don't want that. I've got my own hybrid way of doing this. I'm going to sweat, and I'm going to work hard and callous my hands and break off my fingernails, and I'm going to grow a crop. And I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to harvest that crop. And I'm going to bring the first fruits of my wheat and of my apples and of my corn and everything else that I've grown, and I'm going to offer that to the Lord in place of what God was asking, the blood of the innocent lamb. And Cain came in and said, and God told him, he said to Cain, I can't accept that. And it said that God told Cain, listen, the sin offering lies at the door. Just go get it and you'll be accepted, Cain. My friend, do you realize this morning the gospel right now is going out to some of your hearts? I am telling you by the Spirit of the Lord, the sin offering is laying at the door of your heart. If you'll just but believe it, if you'll just pick it up, if you'll just cease from your religious rebellion and, how can I say, against Almighty God, and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and embrace the Savior, the one who died for you, who shed his blood for you, the one who loved you from the beginning of eternity till now and always will. But Cain rose up and slew his brother. Why? Because the offering of the blood was spirit. And religion likes to bypass the blood. Religion always wants to bypass the blood. Every time. Look at the temple, Jesus. Look at the buildings that Herod built. Look at the grandeur of the temple, Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, this is all going to get tore down, boys. One day this is all over. This is getting tore down. Don't glory in that. But yet we have millions glorying in their denomination, their buildings, their structure, the money of the church, the formalities of their church. I mean, we preach from golden microphones and gowns where there's no room to button anything else on there. It's so decorated. Ooh, ooh, look at that. Oh, I get goosebumps when I see that. It makes me gag. forgive me, but it makes God want to vomit. You got Bible for that? Yes, I do. Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spill you out of my mouth. That word spew means vomit. God's in the one thing. The cross, the blood, the faith. That's the only thing God in heaven is going to honor, my friend. The cross, the blood, the faith. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He never said that about me. He never said that about you. God who loved me never told me that you're my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But He did say about His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of my faith in the faith, the blood of the cross, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am literally in the mind of God married to Jesus Christ. And the perfection of Christ is given to me freely. Without merit, without price. Amen? I can be free and clean because of my union with Jesus Christ by faith. Hallelujah. So the word of the cross is to them that perish. Notice what He said, them that perish. He didn't say those that just don't want to accept it. No. To reject the cross, the blood, the faith, you're a dead man. You're a dead man. And should you go out of here and an unsuspecting telephone pole find you on the way home and you're ushered into eternity, you will split hell wide open because of your unbelief. But I believe in Christianity the way we've said it's to be. God calls it unbelief. There's one gospel, the cross, the blood, the faith. And it's either you in that or not at all. You see, when it gets into the heart, it's a governing thing. It'll govern you and I. Did you hear that? The gospel, the cross, the blood, the faith, when it's believed upon scripturally and properly, it'll govern your inner man. The Word of God says that you cannot do the things that you would have done apart from the faith making you whole and changing you. Amen? So the word of the cross is to them that perish, but unto you and I which are saved, or to whosoever, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You see, the gospel has to penetrate our heart, get into our inner man where converts the soul. We get Christian circles that ramrod somebody into a quick sinner's prayer. Well, you said the prayer, you're saved, you got it forever. Just go live your life, God will take care of it. I grew up believing the gospel, at least as I was taught. Now, was I saved? I don't believe I was. I was a weekend alcoholic. I was a fornicator. I was profane. I was evil. I was the evil eldest brother that tormented my younger siblings. My sister's here. She could vouch for that. I had to come through a lot. And I went to church. His grandma would take us to church. My little cutesy little suit. Go sit in that church. Couldn't wait till it was done because, man, it fell asleep all the time. I grew up in that, but I believed. I did believe there was a God. I did believe there was a Savior. I did believe that He died for our sins. But it was up here. It had no governing effect in my life. But when I was 25 years old, God broke through and brought me low. And for the first time in my life, I'm under conviction of my sin. And the only way was up. And the only way up was to mention the name of Jesus Christ, live in my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Save me.
Make me new. I can't live like this no more. And that prayer was some of your prayer. And upon a sincerity of heart, he entered. And I was born again with a new heart. And I tried to fit back into the old denominational church because I didn't know what else to do. I was newly saved, pretty much. And about 6 months into that, they kindly asked me it'd be better off if I would just resign my membership and move on. Because I was going through all their tracts on the wall and talked about, you must be born again. And they told me in that little tract that I was born again when I was baptized as a little infant in their church. That is a lie, a lie, a lie. Can I just throw this in one more time? You've heard it 3,000 times. Infant baptism is not scriptural. It's not in the Bible. It was never practiced. You can't even find one event where it clearly says they baptized infants. And if it's a major sacrament of the church, where's the Bible support? All doctrine can only be formed out of Scripture. We have no jurisdiction outside of the boundaries of the Scripture. But you know why they do that? Because that poor little baby has no idea what's going on. And listen, you get a kid 10, 12, 14 years old, put him in that goofy little white dress and bring him up in front there. Now we're going to, you know, he's going to throw a fit. So the bottom line, we have to have infant baptism because they don't know what's being done on them. I just messed up some of your futures, didn't I? Wow. Oh, glory. That was my introduction. All right. I'm just kidding. The word of the cross. The word, the message, the cross, the blood, the faith, it addresses, first of all, redemption. It addresses redemption. Redemption speaks of a purchase, ownership. It speaks of regeneration and the eventual restoration of that life. Redemption, you and I have been redeemed. We sing the song, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed. We go on and we sing the song. But redemption isn't just the salvation experience. Redemption is the full plan of God to take a sinner, save him by his grace, God's grace, through Jesus Christ, and begin to restore that man, that woman, that individual to a place of prominence to regain everything Adam lost in the fall. Now that's a progressive work, and that will continue on to into eternity. The cross addresses man's redemption. It addresses the redemptive issue. You and I, in true Christianity, to be a true believer, it's a purchase. It's a legal purchase of God who has purchased your life and invested the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, into you and into me. Redemption comes with a cost. The cost was so high, no human being could pay the debt. So God became a man. He lived the life you and I couldn't in the person of Jesus Christ. And when he took our sins to the cross, and God raised him from the dead because death could not hold him, then through that sacrifice, the giving of himself, by the merit of the finished work of the cross, God can now purchase every individual that comes to him in faith. An old preacher was asked one time by a backslidden news reporter and said, when he had preached about how Christians are slaves to God, he said, man, he said, I'm no man's slave. And the preacher in his quick wit said, my friend, every man's a slave. You're either a slave to your sin
Well, you're a slave of Jesus Christ. And if you're a slave of Jesus Christ, he's the only, how can I say, he's the only master that will love that slave, bless that slave, raise up that slave, heal that slave, give that slave new life and a purpose and a meaning. Hallelujah. God does not mistreat those of I. And that word slave, it's cruel, it's a strong word, but it means that we've been purchased. We are under divine ownership. That's why the scripture would said, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. Bought with a price. Hallelujah. The cross addresses redemption. It addresses our justification. That deals with man's guilt, man's condemnation. It has reference to the emotional need of man because it establishes peace in that life. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know why men are going crazy today? Do you know why men are in anxiety today? Do you know why people are having emotional turmoil and emotional problems today? They don't understand the justification and the peace of God that can abide within that heart and life. In spite of what life has thrown at you and I, we can have peace with God. No guilt, no condemnation, completely free, completely washed, completely made new by Jesus Christ. That's why it said in our text, and in him, you and I are complete. See, our problem is we don't believe. We're unbelieving believers a lot. We say we believe, but we don't believe, and we lose our peace. Amen. But the cross, the word of the cross, it addresses our redemption, our justification, and then it deals with our sanctification. Again, this is our growth, this is our development, this is our separation from the profane unto a holy purpose. Paul said it this way, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The cross addresses our need of provision, and that's spiritual and natural. On the spiritual side, God has given us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. On the natural side of God's provision, he'll bless the work of your hands, the work of your mind, and he'll bless your provision in the natural. He will prosper you as your soul prospers. He'll increase you financially. If you go God's way, God's way, he made it this way. Don't throw stones at me, but if you'll remember God in your giving, if you will remember God in your giving, if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. God made that a stipulation of your natural prosperity. He will take care of you. You'll have a roof over your head. You'll get your bills paid, but you ain't going to see much for increase. Amen. God loves a cheerful giver. See, when you understand the cross, the blood, the faith, giving is natural. It's enjoyable. And as we learn to give, it deals with that self-sufficiency, that it deals with self-preservation, selfishness. And nobody's as selfish. You want to see if you're a selfish man? How do you handle your finances? When God's work is trying to support a missionary, and there's $10 in your pocket, that could easily go to support and help. But you're thinking that $10 is for your McDouble, your dip cone, and your latte. And if I give that, I will go without. My God, how can I go without my dip cone? I say that because I like dip cones from McDonald's. Hallelujah. God loves a cheerful giver, friend. But let the Lord help you. There's no guilt, no condemnation. If you're struggling in the area of your support of the work of God, take that to him and ask him, confess it to him. Say, Lord, I'm struggling. There's reasons I'm hoarding and I'm not being as generous as I know you'd have me to be. Help me there, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. And he'll help you.
He'll help you. Because He wants to prosper you. He wants to increase you. He wants to give you more than you have now. Hallelujah. I know I'm going a little longer today, but this is a message that has to be preached. We got to get it on the CD, the DVD, and besides that, you're all right. Amen? You're hanging on here this morning. I'm almost finished. The word of the cross will address the believer's redemption, justification, sanctification, and their provision. It also deals with this need of resurrection. We hear a lot about the resurrection life, but the resurrection life comes out of the cross. There is no resurrection life unless the cross is first, because the resurrection life is the byproduct of the finished work of the cross, the blood, the faith. All right? I believe in resurrection life. I believe in abundant life. I believe we are resurrection Christians. But to be resurrected and to enjoy resurrection life, you got to be alive from the dead, which cannot happen unless you're born of God. No life from the dead until you've been to the cross. Hello? No resurrection life for you if you've not first stopped at Calvary. You must go through the blood, the cross, and embrace the faith if you're going to enjoy resurrection life, which is life from the dead, where He quickens your mortal body, quickens your inner man. What does that word quicken mean? He gives life to it. Amen. Hallelujah. There's vitality. What do you think those scriptures in the Old Testament, I mean, you got them on your refrigerator, you put them on your dashboard, you put them on the bumper sticker of your car. Oh, God renews my strength like the eagles. Oh, we love that scripture. You know what that's referring to? That's referring to the believer that believes on the cross, the blood, the faith, and is being energized and quickened and anointed by the inner working of the Spirit of God. Amen. He will quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. That's why I'm actually 80 years old, but I look 55. You didn't know that, did you? Oh, glory. I'll get this finished up. We'll get out of here. Amen. Musicians, please. The cross addresses our life from the dead, our eternal destiny, our victory, eventually our new glorified body. The cross also deals with our need of power. He'll quicken our mortal body. He'll strengthen our inner man by His Spirit. It is called the grace of God. You and I need to function in the power of God's grace. Paul told Timothy, "Timothy, be thou strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ." There is grace available for every single believer within the sound of my voice. What is grace? The unmerited favor of God towards you. You need the grace of God. The power of God working within your life and the circumstances of your life. It is available through the cross, the blood, and the faith. We have a need of power. We also have a need of wisdom. This is addressed through the cross. We are given spiritual understanding and practical understanding. The believer is to know the depths, the height. According to the Apostle Paul, the width, the breadth. What does that mean? That you know what's going on in this world and in this time, and you know what's coming. As the governments of the world can't figure out what to do, you and I know there's a better day coming. You and I know there's going to be an Antichrist coming to power. You and I know God's going to deal with Israel. You and I know that there's going to be some hard days ahead for this world. But you and I also know there's going to be a millennial reign of Jesus Christ and eventually a new heavens and a new earth. Amen? You and I also know by the blessed hope that when it gets dark and when it gets bad, I'm not preparing to go through the great tribulation. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Hallelujah. Via the rapture of the church or the resurrection. Hallelujah. My God, we got preachers and people trying to sell believers beans and get ready for the great tribulation and sell you a little mini shovel so you can dig a hole. And I don't know what you want to dig a hole for, but they sell you the tools for it. Jeepers.
stupid, stupid, stupid. I can't say it more kind. Beans. $3,000 for 20 years of beans? Man. You know, 20 years, you know, 20 years of beans would do to your digestion? You wish you were dead. Oh, boy. How can we have an altar call after that now? Amen. Wow. All right. The cross addresses our need of power, need of wisdom. But this is what I love, the providence of God. It deals with the providence of God. What is that, Pastor? That really means the oversight of God in your life. I'm big. Liz and I are big in the providence of God. That's why we're here. Let me explain this. You have a God in heaven who, before the world began, knew you and had mapped out and planned out your life, every day of it, every minute of every day, so detailed that every hair of your head is numbered. That's called providence, the oversight of God over your life. That deals with anxiety, worry, fear, apprehension. That tells me that I have a God who is working in my life, even though I may not like the season I'm in. He is working all things together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. That means everything in your life is overseen and providentially being arranged by God. That means I can rest. I can rest in Him. I can trust Him. I can rest in Him. Amen. And the last thing the cross addresses is glorification. You should have saw me in my teen years. At the age of 25, coming to Jesus Christ, there's been a change. And from that point forward, God has been glorifying my life. I'm no longer what I used to be. I am going from glory to glory. I am changing within, day by day, week by week, year by year. And eventually the change is going to, this mortal will put off mortality and I will put on immortality. And I'll have a new glorified body. And I'll be fully glorified in what Christ has provided in the eternity of God. The saints of God will be glorified. In fact, you will come back with Jesus Christ. You, within the sound of my voice, that are born again, you will come back with Jesus Christ in the armies of heaven when He overthrows the Antichrist and reestablishes His throne in the world. You and I will come back with a spirit body on spirit horses. Amen. Hallelujah. I say it this way. When John walked through that crowd and he saw the armies of heaven, if he got a little close to some of those horses and looked up, he might have saw you. He might have saw me. Amen. Because in the future mind of God, God has it, sees it all ahead of time. Amen. And John was given a glimpse into that. Hallelujah. How does all this work, Pastor? The cross, the blood, the faith. How does it all work? How do I make sure it's going to happen in my life? How do I know? This last thing, it's called consecration. Consecration isn't as hard as we make it out to be. Consecration is your commitment to what's been provided. God has made us free will moral agents. God will never force His will on anyone. Nobody is forced to go into heaven against their will. Well, everybody want to go there. No, they don't. Because they're like Cain and they want to alter the gospel. And they will die lost. Some have rejected the gospel. And they will die lost. But to you and I that are saved, the cross of blood, the faith, it is the power of God. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Paul said it this way, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Listen, if you couldn't leave the faith, why did Paul say, if you continue in the faith? And why did he say, if you're grounded, if you're settled, and if you be not moved away? It's obvious, if Paul used that language, it's possible to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Amen. So it tells me there's a consecration needed on your end. You got to agree with God by believing. That's not works. You're believing something. I get it all because I'm believing the gospel. Amen. This altar call today. Maybe there's things we've said, but we need to get our gospel straight. We need to get our belief system figured out, worked out. We need to throw off all other religious, even affiliate, even if you think being part of Promised Land is part of your salvation, you're deceived. There's no preacher, no church that can save you. Only your faith in what has been provided through the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's packaged in this thing called the faith. As we're here today, I believe there's various needs. Some of us, we just need to get our theology a little straightened out. Some of us, we need a touch from God. Some of us, we need a greater understanding of the gospel. Some of us, we just need a touch in our mind, a touch in our body. I'm going to ask the elders to come up. I'm going to ask Brother Carl, Sister Ann. I'm going to ask Brother Greg, Sister Arlene, if you'll come up, please. Elizabeth, sweetheart, if you'll come. Roger, Sister Joan, if you'd come up, please. And as we give this altar call this morning, you can come to this altar, take time by yourself, or have one of the elders pray with you here today. I believe there's needs in the house. I believe some of you, you need a move of God. You need a move of God in your heart and in your family. If that's you, let's come to this altar. Let's close the service out with joy. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's sing a song. Altar is open this morning. Come on. Let's come to this altar. Let's believe God for great things. You need a healing touch in your body? Come on. We can anoint you with oil. Let's believe.
Still the same today.
Come on.
The power of his
Let's get established
blood.
In the faith. Let's still look to the blood, the cross, the faith. Come on.
Away.
Let's come.
The power of his
Some of you
blood
need to stand in for your loved ones. Let's come. Let's believe God
side.
Today. Let's trust
the
him. Let's look to him today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Grace,
Let's come. Let's come today. Let's believe the Lord.
The
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Of the Father, oh yes, the power of the Son.
Let's believe him.
Oh,
anybody else today? You got a need of prayer in your heart, need a prayer in your
Spirit,
life. Are you believing on the cross, the blood,
of
the faith?
His grace
Are you trusting in the
everyone?
Slain Lamb of God for you this morning? Let's come.
The power of his cross
Let's come.
Is still the same today. The power of his blood still washes sins away. The power of his love, it draws us to his side. The power of his amazing grace redeems and justifies. Oh, the power of the Father. Oh, yes,
the power
of the Son. Oh, the power of the Spirit. The power of his grace to everyone. Oh, yes.
Let's come, let's come.
Spirit,
let's believe. believe the Lord of God's drawing your heart. The Holy Spirit is tugging at your soul. Let's come to this altar. Take a little time.
The power of His cross.
Just come believing.
Is still the same today.
Come asking. Hallelujah.
The power of
Thank
His
you, Jesus.
Blood still washes sins away.